Hare Krishna. Here's a few final thoughts on my visit to Toronto, and I've mentioned before that I ended up speaking quite a lot of time with rabbis, particularly one rabbi in particular, who really wants to bring me back to the fold. Anyway, on the flight from Toronto to Montreal and from Montreal to Toronto, during that time, we spent quite a bit of time sort of sharing and talking. And we talked philosophy and talked about our theology. One thing that this sort of came home to me in that discussion, although it's something that I've experienced previously in other interfaith discussions or talking with people or leaders, or just leaders of other faiths, is that there are certain factors that make good communication, whether we're seeing eye to eye with our conversation partner, or we're disagreeing completely. But unless we have really common grounds of communication and we really understand what each other is saying, very often the arguments can be futile and sort of unproductive in the sense that we're really not arguing or discussing about what we think that we're discussing. Well, let me give an example. And some of these things are, for instance, tradition, clearing tradition, scriptural foundation, and terminology. For instance, in terms of scriptural foundation, devotees may have encountered discussions, for instance, with Christians who quote the Bible or quote Jesus Christ, saying Jesus Christ said this, and therefore because he said this, therefore, and you don't agree with it, therefore you're wrong. But of course, it's always helpful to remind any believer of another faith you're discussing with that we all have a common basis. There's a common argument in which we're common philosophy, in which we're accepting scripture. They're accepting scripture, and the speakers of scripture is being a purusheya, or being free of material fault or material defect, that it's the absolute truth. And we do the same as well. And that's where the buck stops. There's no particular reason why your scripture and what you're saying should necessarily be any more authentic than what my scripture or my scriptural speaker is saying. Of course, you can do a comparative analysis, a real comparative analysis, to see the merits. But in principle, they're both equally valid. But a good example in terms of language or terminology was the following. We're talking and agreed that the source of consciousness within the body is the soul, and that there's one soul that's spreading its influence of consciousness throughout the whole body. And sometime later, the rabbi began to talk about two souls within the body. One is, at least in the way that I remember it, a material soul, or a good soul, a bad soul, or one with bad habits, and then a spiritual soul, or a good soul. Now, in the context of our earlier discussions, and in any clearly sort of understood discussion, this made no sense. Made no sense to earlier agree that there was one soul, and now we're talking about, all of a sudden, talking about two souls. So I said, well, let's get to the bottom of this. What do you actually mean when you were talking about two souls? And ultimately, it came down to the fact that he was talking about two natures. He wasn't talking about two beings, but in our terminology, soul means two living entities. When you talk about two souls, you talk about two living entities. But for him, two souls meant that two natures, and in the Bhagavad Gita, for instance, Krishna talks about our lower nature and our higher nature, or we use the terminology of ego and false ego. Who's that? We use the terminology of ego and false ego. The ego is our real identity, and the false ego is the identity covered by bad habits, and material coverings, the influence of the modes of material nature, which acts or which forces the living entity to act in all different types of irreligious ways. So as soon as we defined what he meant by those two souls, then immediately our communication again became quite clear. We were able to continue on. Otherwise, if I took literally what he was saying, then it made absolutely no sense. Absolutely no sense in terms of Krishna consciousness, in terms of philosophy, no sense in terms of what he had just agreed to a little earlier. So, terminology, being very clear about terminology, and often devotees tend to use either devotional terminology, talking about devotees, they start talking about bhaktas, and people have the faintest idea what a bhakta is. But because we're used to talking about them, then we just assume that that's what they are, rather than talking about believers or our devotees of faith and so on. Even using the terminology Supreme Personality of Godhead, when I use that phrase, their eyebrows really raised. They couldn't understand, what does this mean? Because they've never heard it before. If I say God, all right, then we're talking the same language. But Supreme Personality of Godhead. And of course, when I say God is a person, and once again here we're talking now about context, then immediately for them a person means, oh yes, there was some person and you're calling that person God. In other words, I'm a person, so Krishna was a historical person like me, and we just think that he's God. And in fact, I had a discussion with another movie producer who was there, Israeli movie producer, and he couldn't get over this understanding that Supreme Personality of Godhead. He continued to think that Krishna was some kind of historical person and we have deified him. And I was trying to explain to him, no, he's the same God that you call God, but he's a person. And of course, because they're so enmeshed in impersonal train of thought, it's extremely difficult for them to accept God as being a supreme person. That's not an ordinary person like us, but someone who's unlimited, but despite the fact that he's unlimited, he has personal, he has the qualities of personality as well as form. So once again, terminology, language, because ultimately that's what communication means. Whether you're agreeing or disagreeing is a detail, but at least if you're disagreeing, it's good to be disagreeing on something, but the same thing that you're both talking about, not that both parties have a different understanding of what it is that they're speaking about. So, common grounds of communication, and of course it's very important when we're talking about media, communicating with the media, that people really understand what it is that we're saying, and equally so when we're in a situation where there has to be some kind of exchange with people of another faith who also have similar concepts as us, but those concepts are expressed in different tradition, in different language, in different context than ours. Communication means we have to really make sure that everyone understands what words and terminology means before you start freely using them. So those are my some of my further convictions and understanding and sort of the extent of exchanges that I had. Hare Krishna.